This week's episode is brought to you by KPMG. Stay tuned at the end of this episode to hear James Mabbott, partner in charge at KPMG Futures, explore the Australian public's levels of trust in AI.
Hello and welcome to the IT News Podcast. I'm your host, Kate Webber. Today we'll be speaking with Alex Bank CEO Simon Beetz about the grit needed to build a bank from scratch, even if it means sleeping on shed floors. I guess my first question is, Alex Bank became an official ADI at the end of last year. Just wondering what the journey was to building Alex Bank and to get to that point, because that's quite an achievement.
Yeah, thanks, Kate. It is. And I'm really proud of what the team has achieved building Alex Bank. I think if you step back and you think about the process of building the bank, there's a couple of key elements to it. And in no particular order, there's getting your tech right and making sure you've got the right tech foundation to scale and build that. And we'll obviously talk more about that through the podcast. It's about getting your processes right. So when we talk about systems and processes, they need to work really well together and make sure that works as well. And then also, of course, funding is really important as you're building a bank to make sure that you've got your investors or your capital lined up to help pay for that journey that you've got to get on. And then I guess my final recipe to building a bank, Kate, is making sure you've got great people, because the great people are the people that bring all that really important stuff together. I think what's been really important from our point of view is making sure as we sit with a blank piece of paper and build a bank or an ADI is also not being afraid of having technology or information and systems that we have an unconscious bias towards never throwing away or renewing. So sometimes when you're building a new organization, my view is let's build what we need to get started. And in this instance, we worked with some partners to get it started. And then we started to iterate that technology and build our own technology over there. That's really important on those enhancements and continuing to iterate. We've got a saying in Alex Bank that 3 months after we build something, we start to use a harsh word, we almost say, oh, we're ashamed of that. How can we make it better? And what does that look like? So that's part of the awesomeness that comes with the team where they say, okay, this was good enough to get us to this point. What can we do to continue to enhance that? It's also about being really diligent around execution and being narrow focused. My view is if you're too wide, you'll never get anything done. So we've always been very focused, and Alex Bank was the first bank to have two deposit products and two savings products in market at the time of us getting into ADI, which again, I put down to that narrow focus.
And just building on what you just mentioned about every 3 months, recalibrating where you are, just wondering, since becoming a bank in last December, we're obviously past that 3 month mark. So what have you guys been working on or looked to refresh since then?
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of things. The app that we came out with, we're doing some really good work around renewing the app at the moment. And that's about, again, that iterative or continual learning through the customer experience. Alex has had a great lot of support from customers. And we've got an awesome Trustpilot score of 4.8 out of 5. So the customers are loving what we're doing, but we don't rest on our laurels there. And we're saying, how can we enhance that? You also start to see the edge cases as you get your customer flow through, Kate. We're pretty good at the stuff down the middle, just as a normal loan or a normal term deposit or a deposit. But when you start to incur things like someone passing away or something else, and you've got to navigate the edge cases are there, you think you've got that down pat. But until you actually go through the process, you really get to test what you've done there. We're also looking at our product roadmap as well. And our next products off the line from that point of view are our small business loans and also mortgages. And we see some huge opportunities to support Australian small businesses. And we think that they've been neglected by Australian banks for a variety of different reasons. And of course, everyone's talking about mortgages in Australia and supporting people through the coming off fixed rate loans. What are customers looking like? And our customers today have said to us a couple of times they'd love to have an Alex Bank mortgage. We've got the customers who are informing our product roadmap a bit too.
Yeah, I know interest rates, inflation, that's all big talking points at the moment. So how do you guys factor that in into building these new SME products, especially as a new bank, whilst, I guess, trying to give the best to your customers in the midst of the current financial turmoil that seems to be around us all?
Yeah. And look, I think we need to be careful when we talk about the financial turmoil, we put it into perspective. If we're talking about international banks, the great news for Australians is there's no contagion risk on Australian banks. APRA is probably the toughest regulator in the world for Australian banks. There's been a number of reports that Australian banks are in great order and very robust. So from that point of view, you know, we haven't had any issues around people concerned about banks. From a consumer point of view, we're absolutely focused on cost of banking. In fact, we were focused on cost of living when it wasn't cool, Kate. We'd already removed fees and the friction around some of those fees that didn't make sense to us before anyone saying cost of living is getting expensive. We just thought they were unfair fees that people were charging customers and it wasn't the right thing to do. So one of our key values or tenets through LX Bank is we don't charge the unfair fees that members don't like. I think we speak nicely to that. And then the reality is what's happened with the interest rate environment is there was a whole lot of confusion in the marketplace from some non-bank lenders and others that were playing in the bank space. They no longer can afford to operate in the bank space because of their cost of funds. So they're now operating in a higher credit environment, which means that from a delivering a great proposition to customers, it's very clear in the landscape who the banks are that can offer that for them. And LX Bank certainly, I think, is well positioned there to offer that to their customers. But we don't respond to the economic piece around, oh, we should remove fees. We just do it because that's the right thing to do. And we did it beforehand.
And just pivoting onto technology, from a tech standpoint, how does someone start to build a bank? Does not having to worry about legacy systems make this process easier? Already having that embedded digital first approach make it a bit more simple? I still imagine there's a lot of difficulties though.
My phone has a screen on it that one of the team made for me a little while ago, Kate, saying if it was easy, everyone would do it. So you're right, it's not easy, but I love every moment of it. From a tech point of view, we really started with a white, clean whiteboard. And the team is senior bank executives from a number of our great banks around the country. So we said, knowing what we know, knowing what the customer's looking for, and knowing what's out there in technology, and remembering that we want to have some key tenets around safe, secure, and resilient in banking, how can we design a new bank in the new age? And we call LX Bank a challenger bank. We're a digital challenger bank, but we call ourselves a challenger bank. So from that point of view, we say, what does that look like? And then if we think about lessons from our previous careers, a lot of the complexity and cost is overlaid because of no one's fault, but you've just had systems and processes that are being patched on top of each other or connected in. And some of our great banks still use old technology like SOAP listeners instead of RESTful APIs and different technology like that. Whereas we had the opportunity to use event-based architecture when we were designing that. So that meant that as we sat down and architect the roadmap, we said, okay, this is really important for us to own. And I think the question in any of this sort of world is, do you buy, rent, or build? And so we then mapped out that architecture and said, this is really important for us to own and we need to make sure we've got the skills in-house to develop these parts. This part here, there's really good partners in the ecosystem, Kate, that we were happy to work with and we're really pleased with what they deliver for us. And then there's some of the SaaS provider, for example, our core provider is Terminos, which is a global banking system. It made sense to use that because that's a well-known banking system. The Australian banking regulator is comfortable with who they are and it just works, right? So we say UX, CX, credit decisioning engine, broker workbench, they're all areas that we need to make sure we own and understand and correspond quickly to. The core banking systems, something that, you know, again, we're using Terminos as a core provider that can do that. And then some of the other areas like ID, KYC, AML, there's some really great companies out there that are doing an awesome job with that. So we've gone with them.
And just on partners, I know you mentioned earlier, partners really helped you guys help build the bank. Apart from Temenos, is there any other partners that you're really comfortable working with along this journey?
Yeah, look, we've been really fortunate to have a lot of people over the time roll their sleeves up, Kate. And some of them we still work with and some of them we don't. And that's just because of the natural evolution of building. But I'm a former Suncorp executive. We had a great relationship with AWS. Now, we don't use a lot of AWS at the moment, but AWS were very generous with their time and efforts in getting us started around there. Our core provider sits on the Microsoft Azure cloud, and so we work on that cloud. But again, Microsoft's been really generous in their time and efforts and working with LX Bank to help us do that. Even our cyber partners, Paraflare, have been terrific around helping us. Green ID, from an ID, I would say all of our partners are really awesome when it comes down to that. And what I like about them, Kate, is they're all bought into the vision of building a new challenger bank. They're all excited by that because they've all worked in traditional banks. But I think that creates an awesome culture when you've got team people around or team members around. How can we break this wicked problem and what does that look like? It also means from a CEO leading that work that you don't have to worry too much initially around some of the sticker shock because some of that technology can be quite expensive, as we all know. Whereas those partners have taken the approach of, look, let's not worry about that at the moment. Let's get the tech right first. We'll do that on the relationship. And then over time, we'll move through that from a commercial point of view. So the partners are absolutely been instrumental in building a bank with AlexBank.
Yeah, it sounds like you've really built up a really great team surrounding AlexBank to get it off the ground and make it a success. I was just wondering though, on the flip side, have there been any unforeseen challenges that you've encountered when starting a bank from scratch?
Yeah, of course, Kate. I'd love to wake up every morning and know what my day looks like. But 99.9% of the times when I wake up, my day is different to what I thought it would be at the start. Sometimes that's great. Sometimes that's a challenging day. But the tech, it's about getting the foundations right. We always have views about how long that should take. I think one of the exciting things is we've solved straight through processing in banking. And so the idea is how we get a customer through there as quick as possible. We had some views through customer insights and journeys that we thought what would work for a customer. And when we brought the first iteration out and tested it with customers, we're like, oh, I don't quite like what you're asking this information. You need to reconfigure it and move those around. That's some of the things that have popped out there. I think sometimes the people that you think will excel in a business like Alex maybe don't always excel in a business like Alex. And my tip for your listeners out there that are thinking about doing something the same is just because you're a high performer in a large organization doesn't mean you perform well in a startup. And it probably goes vice versa from different ways as well. Now, we've had some really awesome people that have done some awesome work. And then we've had some people that have really struggled with a blank page of paper, Kate. You say, hey, can you go away and design this? And they struggle without having the frameworks and support of a larger organization. And there's some of the learnings that we've had through there. And it always takes longer, Kate. It always takes longer and it always costs more money. And my team gets sick of me saying that, but I get also tired of them saying, oh, it's going to be a bit longer or it's going to cost a little bit more. But that's just the world we're living in. That's been a key learning as well.
So is this the type of mindset you bring to AlexBank to help separate yourself from other neobanks in the market?
You know what? I was speaking recently at something else, Kate, and I said, this is probably an unpopular answer, what I'm giving, that they actually like the answer. We don't put our eyes on other people. We focus on AlexBank. And so we don't think about others, whether they're big or small. We are passionate and committed to doing what AlexBank is all about for our customers. And that is about making a better experience and about being frictionless and flexible for our customers. And that's what drives us. And that's what focuses us. I learned a very long time ago, early in my career, that you can't pay attention to what's going on around you because ultimately it's a distraction. And often those people don't know what they're doing anyway. So that's what I'm all about in my team. I'm about let's commit to something and let's execute it and drive it and do it well. But also let's take the time to stop and celebrate successes. And also let's take the time to go back and say, oh, we didn't do that very well at all. What's the learning there for us and how can we avoid that again?
Yeah, so I guess really staying focused on your bank, your goals, probably also helps curb a lot of market fears as well from your customers when they see a lot of other neobanks in the market either fail, get acquired by others, or even pivot away from traditional banking. So is that kind of like how you ensure that longevity in the market?
So yes and no. So the reason why AlexBank has been successful and will continue to be successful is because the fundamentals of banking is you make money by lending money to customers and you raise deposits to match that. And we're also not taking on the big four on their core primary product, which is incredibly difficult and it's incredibly expensive to do. So we know that you can build a very successful business by lending money to customers and customers have unmet needs or the market has retreated from certain areas. And these Australian banks have retreated both in the retail and the small business space from different areas to focus on their core areas. they're the areas that Alex Bank is operating in. And as I said before, our customer feedback score from our customers is 4.8 out of 5. We've got really good customers that are high credit quality score, and they come back to us and they say, hey, we love Alex Bank. When can you give us this product, or what can you do with that? I think they're the things that the team hold really proud and celebrate. You know, if I think about our teams chat in the office, it's, wow, look at this customer feedback, or we just hit this, broke this new record, and it's about being focused on delivering that. So we don't get, as I said, too caught up in the other bits and pieces.
And you just mentioned not trying to compete with the big banks by not focusing on their core products, but focusing on what you offer. So I was just wondering what that entails then, what your customers have found most beneficial from your bank?
Yeah, so I think we interviewed over 2,500 customers before we started on that blank whiteboard that I was talking about before, Kate. And so customer insights are really important. And what happens is you start to remove yourself from the customer journey or the pain points and understand what a customer's really looking for. And it's no surprise to me, but it's probably a surprise to some of my colleagues. Customers don't particularly like delays or uncertainty around banks and why it takes so long. They don't understand that. Customers typically want to get on with their experience. Am I buying a car? Am I borrowing money for my wedding? Am I borrowing money to renovate my kitchen or borrowing money to buy a home? Customers don't really care how long it takes an organization to make those decisions. In fact, customers today don't necessarily compare banking with banking. They compare it with other customer experience. So they say, but I can go to Netflix and get a movie straight away, or I can go to Spotify and engage with things that I want straight away. So when we think about banking, we say, if they were in banking, what would that look like and how do the customers get that? The proof point for you and your listeners, Kate, is our customer application process takes about 2 minutes and 40 seconds. And on average, our customers have approval and money in their bank in about 3 hours or 2.5 hours. That compares favorably to outside of 10 days from the traditional banks and often longer. And when a customer's wanting to know, can they buy that shiny new car or that beautiful wedding dress or that kitchen renovation? They don't want to wait. They're already in the buying moment and all about that experience. And so Alex is all about helping people get on with that customer experience they're looking for, instead of saying, actually, you know what? You've got to stop everything you're doing and you've got to focus on the bank for a period of time. We're just someone that helps people get to where they need to get to.
And you're obviously very tech focused and got a very innovative mindset. And I know you headed up the innovation function at Suncorp for many years. Just wondering, did this help you start Alex Bank, and like what lessons you were able to bring with Alex Bank?
Yeah, great question, Kate. The short answer is yes, it did. And a couple of things. Suncorp was a great organization to work for. And as you said, I was there for some time, so you wouldn't be somewhere that's not a great organization. Suncorp also invested heavily in me and sent me to the Stanford University to do corporate innovation, which gave me new insights on how to think about innovating with a large corporate, which is different to innovating in a smaller organization like Alex Bank. And it also allowed me to start testing and challenging things. So I was the first person that employed a behavioral scientist or an anthropologist in Suncorp. Banks typically don't employ people like that. And I wanted people that would think about problems or wicked problems differently and start challenging the questions. So certainly my time there and the benefits that I got out of being part of a large organization helped inform my thinking. You never unlearn skill sets, right? That's what we take wherever we go. I certainly use those core skill sets to go and build Alex, but Alex is far greater than just myself, Kate. We've got heaps of awesome people. They came with different backgrounds, learnings, mistakes they've made, which we don't make again at Alex Bank, et cetera. So yes, in part, it was from my learnings in that role, but it was also bringing that together with some awesome people that we're just happy to get in and have a go. Innovation is often hard work with not a lot of money, Kate. And I think that really drives the necessity of creative thinking and doing things differently. And that's what we benefited from in the early days. We started Alex Bank in a shed near the Brisbane airport. You know, it was an industrial shed. One of our shareholders said, you can have the space for free. We got some furniture there. There's nothing more industrial or even innovative in sitting in somewhere like that. But you know, I think a couple of months earlier was a panel repair shop to all of a sudden saying, this is where we're starting a bank and what does that look like? Now, of course, you can't have a bank like Alex Bank is today working out of that environment, but early days, it's let's not waste money on things that don't count. let's actually get the right people in the right space and really unpack the wicked problems, design them, make sure we've got the right technology, make sure the infrastructure's right so that we can continue to build on it, make sure the customer journey mapping's right, make sure we don't lose sight of the customer.
Wow, started in a shed. That's quite a good story.
And look, the team's got photos of us in our shed, and I'm sure at some point they'll use those in different places, but people inside Alex Med Club, the story that we started in a shed. We all got to start somewhere. Steve Jobs started in his garage, and my garage was too small for us to start, so we went to his shed.
Just my last question. I know being a bank, that's not an easy thing to do, really, and I don't know many people that wake up and say, I'm going to start a bank. Just wondering, with that mindset, why create a bank and not become a non-banking lender? Why really go for the top?
Yeah, that's a good question, Kate. And look, my background, I navigated with some other people, Suncorp, through the global financial crisis. And the global financial crisis was all about banks and others not having the right liquidity or structure in place for banks to be resilient and survive through those sort of areas. And certainly in Australia, we actually navigated quite well to other parts of the world. But it tells you, living firsthand through that, the importance of having deposits versus others, and you mentioned non-bank lenders, where they actually get their money from banks and other people, and it's wholesale funding. What happens when we go through different cycles? And there's two things in life that are certain, Kate, for bankers: death and cycles. When you go through cycles and you're going into the cycle now, you're already seeing the non-bank lenders not being able to operate in the spaces they were operating 2 years ago. It's a real challenge to navigate cycles if you're relying on other people to give you money. Their cost of funds are going up. Therefore, they impose costs on your business that maybe your business wasn't prepared for or doesn't necessarily know how to pass on to the customer in the current market segments. So we're able to really control our costs of funds by raising deposits and also being very leveled through the cycle. So it doesn't matter whether it's an upward or downward cycle, we can have easily access to customer deposits. So that's the benefit. That's why, you're right, it is incredibly difficult. And that's why a lot of people don't get there or can't get there. But you know, what I say to my team, and I think some of them don't like it, Kate, is we're boring bankers, right? We know banking. We know how to navigate cycles. We know what technology works.
Yes, that's definitely what I like to hear myself, a boring banker. I don't need any excitement when it comes to financials. Just keep me steady and stable, right?
Absolutely. And that's what our customers want. They want boring bankers. They don't want people that are rock stars in banking.
Exactly. And just wondering, over the next 12 months, you guys are just kicking off your journey, but what are you most excited about?
Yeah, I'm really excited about the impact we're having on our customers' lives. And it's interesting, in my former workplace, I can't remember a lot of customer journeys coming through unsolicited, but at Alex, we do get customers that tell us how we helped them pay off a debt quicker, or we got them into something that helped them change their lives. I'm keen to see how Alex Bank can continue to help improve our customers' lives. Small business is an area that I'm passionate with. I've run parts of small business in other areas as well. So really passionate to see how we can help these mum and dad businesses that are cafes, news agents, tradies, whatever else, that feel unloved by banks. And typically they have to go to a bank when they're working. And the whole point about the digital delivery that Alex Bank's done is we interact with our customers when they're not working, and it's convenient for them to interact with us. So I think the work we're working on at the moment around some of our future products is really exciting. I think it's a great time to be a bank, Kate. I think we've got a really good opportunity in front of us from there. We've got most of the brokers in Australia accredited with Alex Bank at the moment, and we're building great relationships with the brokers. I think the sun's pretty bright for Alex Bank, and that's what excites me most about the next 12 months. As I said before, doing these sorts of things, and it's whether it's a bank or it's any type of company, hard work pays off. We slept in the shed sometimes, Kate, when we had to work all night to pull off something in time.
That is commitment.
You need, and it is, and you need to, it's about grit. It's about being resilient. You do get knocked down, but it's about getting up again. It's about being so passionate in what you believe and in seeing the validations through different customers. So we also had product in market early too, Kate, because at the end of the day, a business has got to make money. So we kept dropping different bits of product in market and testing it. And that was validation that allowed us to continue. Alex Bank isn't afraid of taking pens when they're complementary in different places to to take a couple of pens and put them back in the stationery cupboard if we need a pen for something or whatever else. We care for his money. We focus on the things that shift the dial, and we've got a lot of grit. And that's what it takes. It's not easy. If you're not up for that, then don't go out and do something exciting. Stay where you are. But if you're up for a challenge, I would encourage anyone to give it a crack. I've loved every minute of it.
Thanks so much for joining me today, Simon. I'm very excited to continue watching the journey that is Alex Bank.
Yeah, thank you, Kate. I appreciate your time.
Hi, I'm IT News commercial editor Velvet Bell Templeman. I recently spoke to James Mabbott, partner in charge at KPMG Futures. KPMG Futures' purpose within the firm is to invest in and explore future technologies and their application to the business and its clients. We discussed KPMG's third iteration of its Trust in AI report.
AI as an emerging technology is quite a polarizing one. If you look at a lot of the literature around AI, it suggests that there's lots of potential impact to people in the workplace in terms of jobs and potential displacement of jobs, but also great benefits in terms of productivity or the ability to solve major problems facing humankind, such as climate change. So we thought it would be good to look at the general public's attitudes towards AI and their trust in this technology, because we have an underlying hypothesis that if you have a high trust environment, you should be able to move at faster speed, and it should also cost you less to achieve the outcomes you're looking to achieve. Whereas if it's a low trust environment, it might take you longer and it might cost you more. And this could be a real issue for Australia in terms of competitive advantage when it comes to the use and deployment of these technologies.
According to the report, the Australian public's trust in AI is ambivalent to low, and much of this comes down to a lack of regulation.
We don't see appropriate institutional safeguards being in place. We would still like to see some form of independent AI regulatory body in place in an Australian context. Interestingly, the UK and the US, from a regulatory perspective, have changed in that there's an expectation of more regulation relative to last year's report in those environments. And I think the other thing that's really quite different this time around was when you look at countries like Brazil, India, China, and South Africa, they were very different actually compared to the rest of the countries in that trust in AI tended to be higher, and also trust in the regulatory environments within those countries also tended to be higher as well. So I thought that was quite interesting, because it begins to point to some difference in terms of how this plays out at a country level.
According to Mabbott, levels of trust in AI differ depending on application.
It's really interesting when you look at that. You find that, in general, out of the use cases we use, highest trust tends to be in things like health applications. And I guess that's not surprising in some ways, because the benefit to the individual is really clear. And then you get into the workplace. And I think what's really interesting there is that our trust in AI in the workplace tends to be higher where that AI application is being used for our benefit. So if it's augmenting my work, if it's making me more productive, if it's making my day easier, if it's delivering a better outcome to customers, then I tend to have a higher level of trust in that application. If, however, you begin talking about AI and you mentioned human resources or HR, and that AI system might be used to, say, monitor my productivity or in some sense monitor my performance, then that's where my trust in the application gets lower. And I think in some ways that's a natural response, right? Because you feel like you might be under some form of surveillance, or you're being monitored or measured in a way at work that you can't see, that you don't understand, and you're not sure for whose benefit. And I think that's the key point. The benefit is ambiguous in that situation. So if the use in the human resources field was really to provide me with tips and coaching and help me perform better, and that data was only provided to me, then maybe I'd see a benefit in it. If, however, I thought it was going to my management or to other people in the firm, and that was used to determine whether or not I was performing my job effectively, then that would probably make me uneasy.
OpenAI's ChatGPT has been a huge disruptor when it comes to accelerating the uptake of AI tools. Even KPMG has its own generative AI tool, he says.
We've launched an internal tool called KimChat, built on OpenAI's GPT large language models. And within the firm, we've actually been crowdsourcing ideas from our employees, from our people, around how to use this technology, what use cases might be best. And then we're working to actually test those and deploy those within the firm and give people the opportunity to experiment with and play with those technologies and determine whether or not there is a real benefit both to us as an organization, to our people, and to our customers. And I think that's an important component of engaging people in the development and the deployment of these technologies. I think the other thing that's really important within an organizational context, when you're talking about building trust in the use of these technologies, is the governance practices that you have in place. And, you know, in the context of these sorts of technologies, that means being clear that you do have a governance framework, that you have controls in place, that you have processes, that you review those, you can have them independently checked, and you actually remediate as a result of the outcomes that you find through those activities as well. All of these things help to build trust because you're being clear on what it is you're using the application for, the intended benefit, the outcomes you're looking for, and what it actually means in the context of your organisation.
That was James Mabbott, partner in charge at KPMG Futures. I'm Velvet Bell Templeman at IT News.
We'll be back next week for another interview. Until then, keep up to date with the latest in Australian tech news by checking out itnews.com.au.